What's going on, Charleston? Thank you so much for tuning in to 96.3 FM Ohm Radio. We are Charleston's local independent radio station. My name is Jenna Feeney. I'm the host of Live and Local here on Ohm Radio. This is a show where we normally play local music, chat with local musicians and community members about all things Holy City. But this week, we are highlighting a few of the speakers coming up in a few weeks at the Good Business Summit. Our very own founder, Vicky Matsis, is among the speakers. And today, I'm excited to be joined by Xiomara Pena, VP of Engagement at Small Business Majority. Thank you so much for being here from California via Zoom. How are you?
Thank you for the invitation to come in and talk about our work and our organization's priorities for small businesses. I'm really excited to join the discussion today.
Great. I'm happy to have you. Just to dive right in, can you talk a little bit about the mission at Small Business Majority and kind of an overview of the work that you do?
Yeah, so Small Business Majority was founded back in 2005. We're celebrating our 15 years in business as a national nonprofit. And our mission really is to empower America's diverse entrepreneurs to build a thriving and equitable economy. You know, everyone recognizes that small businesses are the fabric of this country, are the backbone of our economic output, our major job creators. And when we think about a thriving economy, when we are able to equip business owners with the tools that they need, with the capital that they need, and build policies that support and strengthen the development of very small businesses, we're able to substantially shift communities and the local economy. And so our work is really around creating good, high quality jobs, as well as ensuring that businesses have the tools that they need to succeed.
Great. What are some of the ways that Small Business Majority goes about empowering these entrepreneurs?
So our business, or we're a national nonprofit, as I mentioned. We have offices in about 8 different states, and now we're doing work virtually. And so we're really able to cast a wider net. We serve over 80,000 business owners, and we really do that in 3 ways. One, we host educational workshops. This is primarily webinars, live cast online, to ensure that business owners can navigate the complexity around the federal relief programs, the state relief programs. Prior to the pandemic, we were doing workshops on a variety of different themes, business boot camps, starting and launching a business, as well as understanding legislation as it was making its way through both at the national level as well as in the state level. Mm-hmm. So the educational piece has always been critical to our work. And we do that not just by ourselves. We do that in partnership with over 1,000 business groups nationally. These are other chambers of commerces, the business development centers, your trade associations, and non-traditional business groups where business owners may be getting some resources from these groups. So we do have a good partnership network as well that we leverage to be able to host educational events. We also do this empowering small business owners through our advocacy work. Mm-hmm. And our advocacy work is really meant to ensure that business owners have a voice when policy is being crafted and created for them. Mm-hmm. Business owners oftentimes will get, especially those small business owners. And let me just actually define what we're talking about when I talk about small business. When we talk about small business, we're talking about independent contractors, self-employed folks, and anyone that has a business with less than 100 employees. But more often than not, small businesses, about 92% of all businesses nationally have less than 10 employees. So they're what we call micro businesses. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, their voices are overshadowed when policy decisions are being made, and they should be at the table, right? And so mm-hmm. our goal is to help amplify those voices through our advocacy work as well, in trying to give those voices a platform to connect to their state or national elected officials. And then lastly, we also conduct research on a lot of these issues, you know, access to capital, healthcare, paid family leave. This is scientific polling, not of our network, rather oftentimes we're doing polling in partnership with a researcher organization. And so these three pillars of our work really help all work in tandem with each other.
Wow. It's cool. It's really cool to talk to you because we are a very small nonprofit organization ourselves with just a few employees. So I commend you and everybody at Small Business Majority for the work that you do because it means a lot to the little guys. It's important. And I think definitely things are hard to navigate, especially in this past year, how to go about financial assistance and things like that. So could you touch a little bit on just with the pandemic hitting, some of the focus that how your focus kind of turned and what are some of the things that you were able to help small businesses with in these crazy times?
I think we're all kind of done with the word unprecedented.
Yeah, I was about to say it.
But it was very fitting because, you know, we've always been a national nonprofit. I've worked in this industry for 7 years. Several of my colleagues have also worked in this industry for a good amount of time, whether it's in policy or whether it's in business and programs and development. And I've never experienced a year like last year, mm-hmm. where we are the front line to getting access and resources to the business owners and our job creators, and where we're also advocating for policy solutions and amendments to programs that have been created as a result of the pandemic. So when COVID hit back in March, just 2 days, I think it was 2 days before WHO announced the entire worldwide pandemic that we were experiencing, mm-hmm. We launched our first webinar in California, I believe, and then we started hosting national webinars to inform folks of the access to capital resources. And one of the core pieces of this pandemic has been a big pain point has been, how do I hold on, right? If mm-hmm. I'm shut down, how do I get the necessary capital to keep myself employed, to keep my employees on payroll? And so we have seen business owners leverage existing programs like the SBA Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. And we also saw policymakers in the CARES Act develop the Paycheck Protection Program, which mm-hmm. is also a federal relief program that was created actually as a result of the pandemic. So our work was analyzing how these programs are working and connecting business owners to the right lenders. Oftentimes, I think one of the biggest challenges for business owners is navigating the financial institution space, mm-hmm. right? So you have your traditional banks, you have your credit unions, you have your community banks, but oftentimes folks are unaware of their local community development financial institutions or CDFIs. And these are powerful resources for business owners that may not be able to get access to capital through a traditional bank or a credit union or some other more formal financial institution. And mm-hmm. so we've also been sifting through, you know, the different financial resources that exist out there and trying to connect folks to the right hub and the right tool. And we do that through our in-state outreach work, but also we have an online hub that is also doing some of that work. It's called Venturize, venturize.org. So we invite folks to visit that platform. It is available to everyone in English and in Spanish. And it has been a really great way for folks to find the technical assistance resources. In addition to that hands-on direct response educational work, mm-hmm. I mentioned this earlier, we've also been working with policymakers to inform them of how these programs are, what are the significant barriers or obstacles as well as what additional recommendations could be made in terms of policy, so that we can make sure that business owners are well supported. Mm-hmm. Some of the programs that have been developed are loan programs, and what we're finding is some folks cannot further extend their credit and will need, grants in order to make it another 3 months, in order to make it another 6 months. And so when we think about national displacement of small businesses as a result of the pandemic, if there are policy recommendations to be looking at, those are all also things that we're analyzing as well.
Wow. Yeah, it has been nothing short of crazy. I don't know. Unprecedented, crazy, tumultuous, all these words I feel like they don't even brush the surface, but it definitely was something where businesses like yours, nonprofits like yours, were more important than ever, just because it was a make or break time for so many small businesses. How do these businesses that you work with go about getting involved with Small Business Majority? Is it something that they find you find them? How does that kind of relationship form?
Yeah, I think it's both. Folks do come to our website, and maybe they've heard about an event that we're hosting with a local partner of their that they might be also working with. Mm-hmm. And that helps bring visibility and introduce folks to our network. And our events are available online, and so folks can register. I've gotten so many emails from folks saying, I didn't know a resource like this existed and it's available to business owners like me. And so that's always nice and heartwarming to hear. But we do a good amount of events in order to, so last year for COVID response, we did roughly around 400 events last year.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a pretty, as I said, fast paced. I think this year alone, we've done more events than there are days just this year, as we've continued that response to business owners and serving them. So to some degree, we are communicating with folks that are already familiar with our work, because prior to the pandemic, they attended events in person and we built that relationship, or they might be recommended through a partner of ours. If that partner, typically, we don't do direct hands-on technical assistance. What I mean by that is we might give you information on how to apply for a loan, but we're not an underwriter. We're not going to be able to, to look at your loan package and say, yes, this is going to be something you can apply for. And so we will hand referrals over out, and partners do that with us as well. Likewise, some folks need technical assistance on business plans or, their website. We don't have that deep content expertise. And so we work with the small business development centers or other partners that are able to provide that resource for business owners. So I think it's both. And also I will say word of mouth has been one of the things that I've
loved sure.
this last year is the power of networks. Business owners will between themselves build this social capital and this ecosystem of other business owners, and they communicate with each other. They will vet sources of information and transfer that knowledge to their fellow business owner friends and partners. And so if you help one business owner, you might get like four additional calls that same day, because and they'll say, this group is picking up and answering the phone or what have you. And so you get a sense of relief. You can hear the sense of relief.
I'm sure
you're able to speak to them. And that's what we did last year.
What are you excited to speak about at the Good Business Summit coming up?
Yeah, so the Good Business Summit, we're really excited to be on a panel alongside a number of distinguished speakers to talk about our policy agenda and to talk about the policies that we need in order to really support a strong rebuilding effort. I don't think that anyone currently thinks we need to recover and go back to a place where we were prior to the pandemic. But if there's a way and an opportunity to fix things in a transformative fashion so that we have an equitable recovery, something right. that we didn't see in 2008 and 2009, right? Uh-huh. We saw that some communities, especially communities of color, lagged in recovering from that recession. And so we have an opportunity to build correctly, to build stronger, to equip businesses for success, not just in the short term for a year, but for the long term so that they are around and continue to be legacy businesses. So what I'm really excited to talk about is some of those policy agenda items that we're going to be promoting. And so when we are talking about COVID recovery, I think I look at those policy priorities in this short term, what do we need in the next, 18 months to really rebuild? And so we have a roadmap. We talk about additional investments that need to be made in the federal relief programs. I'm really looking forward to talking about our analysis on and our research on how that's worked so far, where the gaps exist and what can be done to fix it, as well as talking about accessible and responsible capital, which is also something that many policymakers are looking at right now. I'm really excited to be talking about that. And I'm also excited to be joined by Stacey Mitchell, who is the co-director for the Institute of Local Self-Reliance. Mm-hmm. I know that she's been working on some exciting pieces, especially around antitrust, anti-monopoly work, which will be something that I think is going to be key and important to addressing some of the pain points for small businesses with this ever-changing landscape and economy, as we think about some of the pieces that are going to remain as a result of COVID. And then I'm really also interested, lastly, to embed some of those long-term policy priorities. What mm-hmm. do we need to really think radically and transformative and shifting so that we can have a sustainable economy and so that our local businesses and local communities can really thrive. All around, I'm looking forward to really chatting about those pieces, especially given some of the national work that I lead for our organization.
That sounds great. It sounds like so many knowledgeable people, and I think it's going to be an awesome event. Our listeners can also learn more about the Good Business Summit at goodbusinesssummit.org. To see all of the speakers and panelists and get a little more info there. Ziomara, thank you so much for coming on and chatting. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we head off air?
I'll just say, for the small business owners out there, the one takeaway, if I can give you one takeaway, is to not feel alone during the pandemic is, I think, the most important thing. And beyond this, we talk a lot at Small Business Majority about the small business ecosystem that's designed to support you when you have organizations like technical assistance providers working alongside with alternative lenders and working alongside with policymakers and small business networks. And when we have a strong business ecosystem that supports small business owners, we see stronger communities of business owners. I will also tell you as a business owner, one thing that I know in doing this work and talking with many business owners over the years is how isolating it can be to be a business owner. And especially, and that's in normal times, pre-pandemic, right? And so now that we're here, I would just say, find your resource that's going to work as an advocate for you as well. You're always going to be advocating for yourself and right. for your business. But there are other groups that are also, looking to support and strengthen you. And so whether that's us or whether that's another organization locally, I think that the one thing that I'll say is get engaged, because when you do that, you are finding another advocate that's gonna be rallying behind you.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on today, ZMR. Pena, VP of Engagement at Small Business Majority, will be speaking February 24th through 25th at the Good Business Summit. We're looking forward to hearing what you have to say. And thank you so much for sharing such valuable information with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for the invitation to join today.
Of course. Thank you all so much for tuning in to 96.3 FM Ohm Radio. We are Charleston's local independent radio station. Stay tuned for more local content, local music coming up next.